No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host, Maria Sanchez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the conversation by calling in at 888-627-6008, or you can Skype us at BBSRADIOONE. That's 888-627-6008, or BBS Radio 1. This week, we have a special show. I went to the Republican and Democratic conventions, and we're going to talk about them. And we have with us our special guest, Kathleen Gomez, who is the former co-host of this show and has been in politics as long as I have and has been to almost as – I've been to 11 conventions. I think Kathleen's been to like 8. So we're going to talk about the conventions with Kathleen. We have a somewhat different opinion on things, and we hope you find this interesting and you'll call in and join in. Hi, Maria. How are you?
Michael, I am excellent, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you and Kathleen have to share. So I'm going to be peppering you with questions, both of you.
Okay, good. And Kathleen, are you there? And
yes.
Are you fired up?
Yes, I'm a little numb because I have that drive down or up from Philly, and then back to D.C., and then I was all day at the airport with canceled flights. And, you know, I just want to ask America, why do we allow the airports to charge us $6 for water? I just don't understand that, because you come in with 99 cents a bottle, and it's $6 for a bottle of water, and we allow it. So we got to stop being sheep.
And, of course, that's only after you get through the TSA check.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother show that we need to do because, you know, when I was a kid, when I was young, and I used to fly on a thing called student standby, the airlines couldn't do enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now they act like you're doing them a favor by letting them take your money and put you on the plane. I mean, it's a whole different thing.
It was awful.
What
but
was
anyway,
with the canceled flights?
The weather, I suppose. Well, I guess there was, in Baltimore, 6 inches fell, and there was floods, and it was all the way up to, I guess, past New York and stuff. But I couldn't understand it because the plane didn't leave Jacksonville, which is where my plane was supposed to come to D.C., and then I was supposed to go to Kansas. But this is the way they tell you, you know, like for 10 hours, it's 45 minutes out, it's 45 minutes out. But then they never left, you know, and then at the last minute they canceled. So there's like 1,000 people rushing in the customs. It was just, it was terrible.
That sounds miserable.
It's because God knows that you like Donald Trump and he's paying you back.
No, God is trying to tell me that I have to speak out and observe of all the inequities that are happening and hold people accountable. That's what God is saying.
All right,
nice
well, let's,
spin,
start, let's start with the Republican
such the lobbyist.
Let me start with the Republican convention and see if you have any questions, Maria, because I wasn't there very long. I was only for a day.
Well, but, and my guest last week in your absence, which you were sorely missed, and thank you and Kathleen for calling in. We kind of covered it exhaustively. So if you want to give any input from what you...
The only thing I would say is there were a few things that surprised me. One, there really was no trouble. They were expecting lots and lots of trouble. I can tell you there were three times as many cops at the Republican convention than there were at the Democratic convention. Now, the Republican convention was held really in the middle of town, their arena, whereas the Democratic convention was held Their arena was more in a sports complex, which was probably easier for them to secure. So that may have been part of it. But there were a ton of cops in Cleveland and really didn't see any trouble at all. So,
well, and you know, a lot of that, I'm sure, was preemptive because there's been trouble all along. So with the Kerry, you know, thing going down and the fact that Trump has attracted kind of vociferous folks, I guess they had to err on the side of caution, which I'm glad they did. And I'm glad nothing happened.
They did a great job. And that may be exactly why there was no trouble. It's because they were just overwhelmed with the police. And again, just to give them a shout out, in Cleveland, they were cops from Arizona and California and Florida and New York, and they all worked together beautifully. I mean, it was an amazing thing to see that. And I think that they didn't do a really good job of staging the convention. I mean, that became kind of obvious through the 4 days. But other than that,
what do you mean by that?
Much the same. Well, I think that it wasn't as interesting. It didn't move as the same way. People were, I mean, there was kind of a melancholy that hung over the place. Whereas at the DNC, you didn't see that, although you saw a lot more dissension at the DNC. The Republicans, you know, it was like the ones that weren't for Trump just stayed out of it, you know.
Well, and I actually appreciated that because I thought that was respectful, unlike the petulant Ted Cruz. It's like, you know, that you're coming to honor somebody and then you stand there and I couldn't watch any of it because I'm in class, but I got to hear it on my way back sometimes when class wasn't out in the evening as much. And I heard Ted Cruz, I'm driving home and I'm thinking, okay. And then it got apparent that he wasn't going to. And that's right when the crowd started booing. And I thought, I'm not the only one that's figuring this out. Cause I thought that was uncalled for. Just stay home.
The Bernie people booed. Did they not, Kathleen?
Well, again, here where we're going to disagree, right? Because I have a lot of respect for them. They had been saying, and we know that they weren't dealt a fair game, a fair hand. They did everything they could to try to diminish the effort. And I think, you know, a lot of people. Now, I even got a little annoyed on Thursday because I wanted to hear what the generals were saying, and they were interrupting them. But I also understood why they had to do it. You know, it's obvious that DNC and the convention were very controlled by a group of women that are surrounded by Hillary that we've known for many, many years, correct? Michael Brown?
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
And it was, to me, undemocratic. I mean, starting with, and I'm going to say this, as you know, after the D.C. primary, right, they were going to elect 4 delegates to go and represent them at the convention. So 50 people showed up, and Clinton's people came in and said, oh, no, there's not going to be any kind of election. I'm going to choose who I want to go. And so she took those 4 credentials. She gave one to Marion Barry's wife, and then I guess to 3 others, and 2 never even used. I think one was maybe Donna Brazile, right, who doesn't really need the credential.
No, Donna Brazile is a superdelegate. Okay. She wasn't part of that.
But then when I was on the bus, I was talking to a gentleman, young guy from Florida, and I said, you know, we were explaining, he was trying to ask me why I wasn't comfortable with Hillary, and I was telling him, I told him this incident, and he says, well, that's the same thing that happened in Florida. Quite a few different, you know, parts of Florida, they came in and did the same thing. Now, to me, it's very hard for me to support somebody who feels that they have enough power to go in and just decide that there's not going to be elections, that they're going to take something away from the people who have, even though I'm not crazy about the DC Democratic Party, it was their right to have it, and they were doing it in a way in which it was fair and people could run for it. So those, you know, what do they say? The devil is in the details. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of things that I have a real problem with. So I felt, you know, when we got there on Monday, right, there was about 100 supporters. And when that whole thing broke about the emails,
Yes.
Then that just fueled the fire. And my problem again is for with her actually kind of rewarding Deborah Wasserman by appointing her to be in charge of her 50-state campaigns. And when somebody is doing something that's illegal, and Michael and I have had this discussion, the senator and I, about, well, this is how it's always done. When I was director of administration during the convention in 1992, we were told that we couldn't show any kind of favoritism, whether it be an office, whether it be a chair, whether it be people asking us stuff. And I held to that. Granted, probably I don't get very far because I play by the rules. I don't bend them on whether I'll get more credentials or I can get this job. My feeling is those are the rules and I got it. And that's my job to do the right thing. So this whole thing, well, is the way everyone does it. I don't accept that as a reason to continue to do this and to reward people who do it by giving them positions or electing them into powerful seats. Now, the other big agreement, well, how could you vote for Trump? Trump, see, I'm like some of these guys. I hate the trade negotiations we're in. I see it being on the border that it doesn't benefit the Americans. I have a real problem with the way in which they go about immigration. I have a real problem with some of the stuff that went through the pharmaceutical companies. So I can't be excited about some things that I feel people just don't know because they cover it up. Like why the TPP, there's also this thing which I think most people don't know. It's called the death sentence clause. Pharmaceutical companies have been given a 20-year monopoly on life-saving drugs where they can charge anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 a year for these life-saving medicine. A couple of people from California were protesting during Obama's speech because he was the one that signed off on it in October 15th. And then Bernie was telling people what was going on. Hillary backed down. She says, I don't support TPP. And I won't. And then McAuliffe, you will love this. I read a story, Senator Brown, of our friends, Governor McAuliffe, went on the floor and said, oh, well, Hillary will support it if some changes are made. Then she had to do a reverse when the campaign said, absolutely not, we're not for it. So that's the kind of thing. And so the devil in the details. So my option is, what do I do? The thought is, maybe you vote for a third party in that Green Party or the Libertarian, because if 5%, they get 5% of the vote, that will freak both parties out because that signifies that there's a rise that people are going to still go and vote. And I would say, go and vote. Maybe you write in Biden and Kasich because I sure would support that, you know, combo because I think they understand more than both Trump and Hillary.
So but we saw what Ross Perot did to the election results. It's just a spoiler.
Right.
I guess I understand, right, but I don't think that the system is working. And I think that's why so many people are angry. Ross Perot, they said, well, they never worked. Remember, Colin Powell was going to start to try an independent party, and he was put up with a lot of walls about it and backed down. You know, they're both, the Republican Party is too far to the right. The Democratic Party is too far to the left. There's no more moderate politicians, and that's what we need. So maybe we have to grow our own at the local level, but we have to do something. And whether it's a spoiler, I don't know. I have a very hard time, no matter what Senator Brown tells me, in being able to vote for someone who erases 33,000 emails and then claims she doesn't know or it's a gaffe. I mean, I can't erase one email without, you know, possibly getting fired. If that was me, I'd be in jail.
Well, and it's going to be interesting because I don't know if you guys heard or saw the interview with Julian Assange and Anderson Cooper. And he's sitting on a whole treasure trove of other information, not suggesting what it is, but that it's going to be coming.
Well, yes, and we'll have to see that. And that may be a real problem for her. But a few things, just to answer a few things that Kathleen's brought up. First of all, what she did with the DNC might be heavy-handed, but it's well within the rules. She did that.
That depends on where you stand on how you read those rules. Because as we know, law is all in how you interpret it. And we know how everyone can make a spin. So I would advise people to go and read the rules and make their own decision. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to Senator Brown. Actually be active, and you can find those on the Democratic platform and read the rules and see what you think.
Well, yeah. So, Michael, how do you legitimize it? How do you refute what Kathleen's saying?
This has nothing to do with anything but the way the Democratic and Republican parties run themselves, and they have a right to run themselves. So there are no laws that govern this. The nominating process is really up to the party itself, because this is the party nominee. So this is part of their party rules, and you could say those rules are undemocratic, and I wouldn't argue with them. I wouldn't argue that superdelegates are undemocratic. We were there when they created, at the DNC, when they created superdelegates, and that was our opinion, was that they were, you know, that this really wasn't a democratic way to do things. We see from this election that they would have helped if the Republicans had superdelegates. They wouldn't have Donald Trump as a nominee right now, most likely, and that's why superdelegates were created. So you might be able to say to yourself they have some value, but it's not particularly democratic to let elected officials, although they are elected, and party leaders decide who your nominee is going to be, a separate, in my opinion, separate from the primary process. But those are the rules of the party, and the rules of the party are what they are. And people manipulate with inside those rules. And that's number one. And I think there is a big dissatisfaction in America. That's obvious to everybody. And I think that adjustments are being made. I think that both candidates are responding to this, and Donald Trump is responding to those people that are angry and somehow want to get even with the system, and Clinton is responding to I think the other end of that, people that are worried about the whole Trump movement and things swinging to the right.
But interestingly enough, that's why the Republican convention was, quote, as you say, melancholy, because yes, people are distressed and people are concerned on so many levels. And so it's not just like homelessness or guns or foreign affairs or, you know, I mean, it goes on and on and on. And it feels, I don't know, maybe we don't have enough history yet being alive, but it feels unprecedented to me in my life. And I think that's what's driving a lot of it.
I think it is in some cases.
Well, it's interesting. A long-time Democratic person I know who's been in every convention said to me, what the Democratic Party is not doing is addressing what's really going on, that there's a lot of angry white males who have been really – they've been really screwed, okay? And we have never addressed that issue. We haven't addressed the issues that are really concerning in America, and that's – you know, I kept on waiting to see about the strength of what you're going to do about – terrorism, because I was sitting there waiting, there was at Dulles, there was a lot of people coming in from Amsterdam and Germany and all of them. Amsterdam had a threat, and she said it was like on lockdown. I mean, we don't hear about those things. I mean, this is serious, and the more we sit there and pretend that if we don't talk about it, or if you talk about it, you're racist, and somehow in some way it turns out that you're a racist when you want to talk about the concerns you feel as an American. I mean, I love the fact that they did have this Muslim parents, both the mom and the dad. Their son had died in 2005, but they were the only ones. I mean, we had about 30 different immigrants come up and speak. We had like 30 different people with disabilities come and speak, but they only found one parent, you know, the father and mother, to come and speak about how, as Muslims, they were true believers of America. And so I thought that was very strange. You know, could we have not found some more to really put that across? Because if they had addressed that and shown that, you know, I hear all the time, Kathleen, there's so many millions and millions of Muslims who are doing very well here and love it. Yet I go on the internet and I look for Muslim leaders who have come out against the terrorist attacks, Muslim organizations that have come out against terrorist attacks, local citizens, and I can't find it. I would love someone to show me, because that's going to make me feel better about allowing them in if I can see that they really want to embrace American values, especially as it comes to women. And this is the thing I don't get about Democrats. This was all about the historical value of electing a woman as president. Historical, uplifting, beautiful, yet they sit there and they don't want to talk about the Muslim issue, yet the Muslims are not in it for women's rights. You read the books of women who lived through it. It's not a good place to be.
No.
Let me say one more thing. You can choose that route. That's your belief, and that's the religion you want to. In America, you can do it. But if you don't, many women have been burned, killed by their brothers, and yet we don't want to talk about it because, ooh, we might sound like racists. And I'm getting really aggravated by that because when my son's in Europe and the things they tell me, it's a serious issue worldwide, and we better start talking about it so we can get all those fears out, but come to something and show our leaders that, listen, to me, I felt the convention was all about looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. We're all about forward. Everything's wonderful. It's not wonderful. You wouldn't have Trump if it was wonderful.
Well, you know, the thing is, first of all, you had Latinos and other minorities up there speaking because Trump's insulted everybody. He hasn't just insulted Muslims. He's insulted Mexicans. He's insulted African Americans.
That's not my point, though.
So they have them all up there. But whether Muslims come forth and stand up, and I agree with you, if more Muslim leaders would come forth and denounce
more, tell me one that's come up.
It will. Well, certainly local Muslim leaders have.
Really? Like who?
Sure. Well, I can't name them off the top of my head, Kathleen, but they certainly been in the Washington Post denouncing what's going on.
When I go on the internet, I don't see those local people doing that. I can only tell you my experiences from the mosque that was next to my son's apartment building on campus, and it's not good things to say. So, I mean, I'm telling you.
But I don't understand why that matters. The country was founded on the idea of religious freedom. You can't tell people that they can't come into this country based on their religion.
You can tell them that we're going to make sure that you're not associated with organizations that want to kill Americans. I'm really sorry. I feel at some point the world has changed. I believe that you got to have a constitution that is living. And I think at some point you have to think, what is happening now and what is real? And let's talk about that. Then we can go to the kumbaya, everybody's welcome, and we're going to open everyone with open arms and not ask questions.
Well, we just had the FBI director this week saying it's not if, it's when. They're coming here. They're coming to Western Europe, and they're coming here. Now, who they are is, you know, obviously radicalized folks. We're not talking about the whatever you call it, 99%. But unfortunately, because of their population, that 1% is a staggering large number.
Well, exactly. And I just want to know what is different about what you're saying, Kathleen, than what Eugene McCarthy said.
Well, I'll tell you, when you come down to the Mexican border and you live there for 6 months, you see your school system completely shattered because of all the students that come from Mexico and don't pay tuition. When you see the hospital that I worked at, 105-year-old hospital, have to close because of all the children that were born there to be an American citizen and the expense it cost us because we did not have the ability to actually have children born there, we had to fly them into Tucson. That 105-year-old hospital is gone. Therefore, my father now, when he's 84 years old, is going to have to go an hour and a half to a hospital. I hope he doesn't have a heart attack. I hope he doesn't have a stroke, because if you don't get to a hospital within 30 minutes, you're dead. Okay? So you come down there and live with me, and you sit there, and I'm sitting there unemployed. I can't get a mammogram because I'm an American, yet they have spent $80,000 giving the mammograms to those women across the line. That's great. Take care of me, then take care of them. I pay taxes, they don't. This is the problem with what I find in Washington. You guys don't understand the issues. That's why people are getting angry.
No, we understand that. But where does that give you or Donald Trump the right to call Mexicans rapists and thieves?
Oh, hold off right there.
That's what he does. Wait a second.
You wait a second. Mexicans rapists. How dare you? This is what liberals do. This is what you do as a liberal party. You talk down to me. You think that you've got to put the record straight because you won't listen. You immediately are sitting there and making it seem that I'm prejudiced. That is not the case because you don't want to listen.
You said
me and Donald Trump don't have a right to call Mexicans rapists. I did not say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Listen, Donald Trump doesn't have the right to do that, and that's what he's done, and that's what people are revolting Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. What about the rancher that was on our show that had the rape tree on his ranch? What about the rancher who talked about the fact that the men go first with their backpacks full of drugs when the coyotes bring them over, the women are separated, and then they're raped? What about that issue? I'm not just talking. It's a terrible thing that's going on.
You're not talking about the issue. The issue is the racist tone of the...
Because you won't listen to what people are saying. There's issues out here that you don't want to deal with in Washington, that you don't want to face. You think if you just stick your head in the sand, everything's going to be okay. And what I'm hearing from people in Europe and from the people that came is that it is scary over there and it's coming over here. And unfortunately, you do have to vet people. You can't just open the doors anymore. I don't get this.
I think that is just common sense, though.
Thank you, Maria.
You know what? Let me ask both of you then. How come you have to vet people who aren't killing very many people in the United States, but the people that get automatic weapons who are killing thousands of people in the United States, you don't need to vet them?
Because you know what?
You only need to vet the
right.
Muslims.
That's because that's the rights of Americans. If you're American, you can go get a gun. Do I like that? No, but that's the thing. Meanwhile, do I want people coming in here that don't want our lifestyle, who are set to destroy us? No, I don't. And you know what? It's like everyone went through that. The Japanese went through it. Every nationality has gone through that thing. That whole situation of being blamed for what, you know, a minority is doing. But this is a different story. This is something when you go and you have people cutting the throat of priests. I mean, in the church, when you talk about all the Christians that are being killed by ISIS and over there in you know, Syria and that stuff, if you think it's not coming here, you're crazy. That's all.
Well, I'm not saying it's not coming here, but
you
know
what?
And
you find ways to protect Americans.
Well, and the guy in Nice, France, killed 80-plus people, not with a gun. Mm-hmm. It was a truck. You know, it's not just guns that they're using. But, yeah, Kathleen,
well, no,
the knife
I know
and the
that.
Mass.
But we're killing way more people than they're killing.
That's not true. Just starting with 911.
Look, it is true.
Oh,
even including 911. Even including 911, more people have been killed by Americans. Wait a second. Have been killed by Americans.
I'm trying to tell you what Americans
know. Wait, just one second, Kathleen. You'll talk about a priest getting his throat slit by a Muslim, but you won't talk about the guy that walked into a church in South Carolina and shot 10 people in the head.
Well, first of all, that's bullshit because I've talked about it many times. I've talked about...
So what's the difference?
The difference is because they're here, they're Americans, we have to deal with them. We don't have to let people in based on the fact that there are crazies already killing us, so let anybody crazy outside come in too. I see you have Taboo and he wants to argue, so why don't you let him talk?
All right, Taboo, get on. Tell Kathleen she's wrong. Go ahead. Taboo, are you there?
Oh, hi. Hi, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were talking to me. Well, you know, I think a key word is nationalism, not racism, relative to what Trump has said. If you're talking about South Carolina, then you could maybe say that's racism. But I'm speaking what Trump is saying, from what I'm hearing, he's talking about nationalism. This is nationalism versus globalism.
Yes.
Right.
Now,
and who else talked about that taboo? Mussolini, Hitler. That's what they called it. They called it nationalism.
Taking care of your own people is
the
not a bad thing.
Party, the Nazi
taking
party.
Taking care of your
Nazi
jobs
party.
In America
Wait
and
a
actually
second.
Having jobs. No, no, you don't get to sit there and start. This is what Democrats do and liberals. Start throwing that Hitler and Mussolini and all that stuff out. Be here in the moment with what's happening today in America. This is national. I want America to be first for once. I'm tired of
we're
seeing
always
it so
first.
Much. No, we're not. We don't put ourselves first. We give it away to everyone else. And I can tell you, I mean, have you tried to start a farmer's market on the Mexican border with these trade laws to be able to just have some co-op growers bring over their lettuce for the poor women? Well, guess what? With NAFTA, you can't do that in a small scale. It's so much bureaucracy, and there's so much these little people have to go through, and it's made for the corporations to rake us and make money. So you have to put yourself in a situation where you see what's going on, how these laws are implemented, to really be able to say that I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying
it's totally taboo to tell her she's wrong.
Exactly. If you're telling me, if you're telling me that we shouldn't let people into the United States because they're Muslims, then I'm saying you're wrong.
Well, I believe Kathleen said vetted.
Yes.
Well, there's nothing wrong with vetting people.
Okay, well, so that's what I said. So why are you jumping down my throat saying I'm a racist?
Because that's not the same.
Oh, my gosh. See, this is what drives me crazy.
This is not what Trump is saying. That's
he
what
I'm saying. He said vetted, and he said vetted many, many times. And then the media takes it as, oh, he's, you know, racist against Muslims. And then that becomes the spin. I watch the media.
What's
and both
sides. He said we should stop letting Muslims. This is a quote for him.
He said, until you vet them, you must vet them. You must vet them.
He said that afterwards.
Okay, Taboo, what do you think? Let's let Taboo speak.
Okay.
Go ahead, Taboo.
What's your mom, Taboo? Go ahead.
Well, look, let's get a consensus. Let's take each of those issues one at a time and see if we can't agree on them, because that's what we really need to do. We have to learn to coexist. So let's take the one, what do you start with? Well, let's say the one, rape. The women coming across,
right.
Kathleen, they come across. Women, if I understand correctly, are given condoms because they know they're going to get raped.
Yeah.
Now, this is a fact. Now, can we all agree that I think it's something like 80% of the women that come across get raped?
Yep.
Now, if that's a fact, then Trump is right. Can we agree to that? If that is a fact, then he is right in calling the people the rapists who are raping the people. Now, can we agree on that?
I can.
You can't call a whole race of people rapists. You know,
This is a country.
The two guys that killed in both cases in Baton Rouge and Dallas, both of those guys were African Americans.
How does that have anything to do with
what we get to call out all African Americans cop killers?
Now listen, now you go from one thing, just answer the question. That's what you guys in D.C. won't do. You don't answer the questions. You go off on other tangents and make you feel something else.
Okay, this is the answer to the question. Mexicans are not rapists.
And you didn't say that, Taboo. I know you didn't say that. What you said about the people coming into the country illegally, the coyotes bringing these people, do them much more harm than it's worth. And it's almost protecting them to keep it so it's not easy to come across. And then they don't get raped, the children, the young girls, and the women. That's what I heard what you said.
But that's not the issue. The issue is, do you build a wall to keep them out?
Well, no. Not the wall. Let's stay on the issue of race, on rapists. Okay. Let's say they were saying we're rapists. Let's get that out of the way, and then we'll deal with the wall. Let's deal with one at a time.
Okay. You are herding cats here, Taboo, and you're doing a good job.
Yeah, really, you should have your own show, the Taboo Show. We should be calling you.
You should be.
But no, look, this is very important. And first, again, I thank you for the show, because this is what I think we the people need more. We need to talk more among ourselves.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we tell our elected officials what we want rather than them tell them what they're going to do for us. So I commend you and I thank you all for this opportunity. But back to the issue of rapist. First, who are we talking about? We are talking about Mexicans who are crossing the border or anyone else who are raped. Mexican is a nationality, not a race.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes.
That's
correct.
Right.
So how do we call a person, someone who makes a statement about a country, you know, rather than, well, maybe I could be wrong on that. But I think the point there is, though, the fact that many of these women are raped, and we need to have sympathy with them, I think. And we need to call them in rapists for what they're doing so it can be stopped.
Exactly. If you ignore it, every time it's not
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Now,
as far as the wall goes,
Muslims.
Why is that so offensive to people?
A wall?
Yeah.
Because of the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. When did
that
we
was
go,
built? That was given to us at a time when we had huge
from France.
You're poor.
Exactly.
You're free to hide
legally.
Behind.
Legally, my grandparents came through Ellis Island legally.
Of course.
There's nothing wrong with legal immigration.
We didn't make them go through a gate. We didn't.
Oh my gosh! But we made
them
go through.
They went through Ellis
stuff.
Island.
Yes, right. It was not a pleasant
thing. They had to
thing.
Shuffle through Ellis Island, and by the way, both of their names got changed.
Yeah, well, I mean,
what?
But well, that's the case. But we didn't build a wall. We welcomed them.
But who? But I'm saying, who cares if we have a wall? If we can control immigration, and that's what it takes, because what we're doing now isn't working. Why is that so offensive? I wouldn't care if Canada put a wall on its border, but we don't have that problem with Canada and vice versa.
Question.
So I don't understand why it's so inflammatory.
I got a question for everybody. Okay. Would it be wrong if somebody else invited complete strangers into your home at all times and day, and you never got a chance to say anything or vet them or anything? Right into
Good
your
point.
Home, into your castle, into your grounds. Forget the world, forget the country. Would that be right to somebody else to be able to put that on you?
No.
That, so I just want the answer to
wrong.
That question.
But that's not what
it's
we're
wrong.
Doing.
Yes, we are. You know, listen.
No, we're not. There's
okay,
an immigration
Michael,
process.
Let me tell you what Hillary wants. Let me tell you what Hillary, what I've read that she wants to do in accepting all the Syrian refugees. They're going to get housing. They're going to have their utilities paid. They're going to get educated. They're going to get a job. Meanwhile, how many veterans are on the street homeless? I want to take care of the veterans before I take and pay for Syrians who I don't know love this country or not, and I pay for them to live over here.
Well, I'm not against taking care of veterans, that's for sure. And we have a problem, especially in Washington, D.C. We have a terrible problem, and there should be no such thing as a homeless veteran.
But what about American jobs, American workers? You know how many American workers are out of work? And look how many work permits were given to illegal immigrants, and look how many people who are being brought here right now and going to put them in housing and jobs.
But who's giving those jobs away? Billionaires like Donald Trump.
Because
Donald
we have
Trump
a system in which it makes
all over the world.
Who does? Walmart doesn't either. Listen, what you've done is created a situation where corporations do one thing, it's the bottom dollar is what drives them. It is better for them to leave the United States, go offshore, build factories. I told you the factory that was closed in the U.S., 5,000 jobs left, lost, to build a T-shirt plant in Arrieta where they paid the workers $10 a day, and that's considered an incredible salary. Now, you tell me that that's right, and I'm saying to you, it's not right for our people, so that's nationalism, and therefore I'm a terrible person because I want to protect American workers. If we protect our own, we will have a lot to be able to spread it around. But if we're weak inside and our people are working and they're hungry, they're going uneducated, then we're not going to be able to do anything for everyone, and we will definitely tumble down and somebody else will take over us.
Well, let's
but
answer
it's
your
the
question.
People you
the question.
Support that are doing this. It's not Hillary Clinton. It's the billionaires. Look, it's
they
the billionaires.
Who passed the laws, Mr.
Jobs.
Brown?
Yes.
Senator Brown,
yes.
Who passed the laws? Who made it right? The question was, is it right or wrong? Right law determines right and wrong. Who made those laws?
Which
like,
laws?
Politicians.
Who made the laws that allow the corporations to do exactly what they're doing?
Well, we have a free market system. How are you going to stop? You're going to tell General Motors they can't send their jobs to Mexico? How the hell
yes.
are you going to do that?
Yes.
It's the policies that's made by our elected officials is the reason we have the problem right now. And let me ask y'all a question. Is the North American Union real or not?
You got me flat-footed on this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay,
Captain,
well, let's
American
break it down.
Union.
This is something we've just had two conventions now. No one talks about. If it's fact that the United States, Canada, and Mexico is to be joined together, then we lose our sovereignty, and we aren't saying anything about it. It looks like all de facto, you got the merging of all the people coming here, your banks, everything is in Spanish and in English.
Yeah.
We're losing our culture. We're losing English culture.
I can't tell you how many times, you know, o primo número uno para español. That's
the option.
You know.
Yeah, you know,
let's ask ourselves something. Let's put this question on the floor because we need consensus here. If the North American Union is real, should we not have been talking about this during this whole, these two conventions and all these debates?
I think it's just real in a concept. I don't think it's real in execution, because that would mean that we would have something akin to the European Union, which would require a common currency, which they're saying is Amero, as in North American dollar.
Was it not?
Oh, I was going to say that, Mr. Brown. Senator Brown, you haven't been too good when you say never. But I understand what you're saying, but I do, Tabu, understand what you're talking about, because when I went back to Arizona, I heard this thing about Exlan. Have you heard about that, Maria? Movement, they call it, for Baja, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, that they want to secede from the United States. I thought, oh, God, this is a joke. It's just a bunch of crazy people. There, I saw it. I saw the movement where I'm from and where media now is calling Southern Arizona Baja Arizona.
Really?
When did that happen? Yes. I was watching TV and a Tucson newscaster talked about the weather and he was talking about sports and the weather, and he didn't refer it to Tucson or Cochise County or whatever. It was Baja Arizona. And I have seen the people start to organize along the Mexican border for this event. So there is a lot of things I think that we don't hear about because, you know, we're caught up in whatever the cop killing of the day is. And to go, I understand what you're saying. It's you know, I never thought that thinking of the Hispanics to secede from the United States would be anything that would be truly plausible, but it is. It is a movement, and it's actually growing in numbers.
And it's a silent movement.
We are being merged every day.
Yes.
We are being merged every day. Now, was NAFTA real?
Yeah.
North American? NAFTA's
real.
NAFTA, it is real?
Yes.
Okay, was the NAFTA highway real? See, it's people, they try, but the people have fought back. You know, I think I mentioned to you once before, it looks like to me, you talk about the Brexit, the American people have been fighting NAFTA for a long time. We might very well have had the North American Union had certain people gotten their way. You know, but the American people fought it, and we're still fighting. That's why Trump hasn't had to spend one penny yet. People are afraid to talk in many cases.
Well, you know, that's not true. Trump's spending money, and he's raising money.
He's spending his own money.
No, he's not. He loaned money to the campaign. It's different. He gets to pay himself back all that money.
I mean, he's not advertising. I don't think he's advertising.
No, he really hasn't yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen
anything.
That's
what I'm saying. He
doesn't
have to, because he's a people's person. He's a people's candidate.
Well,
he's tapped into something, Tabu, that's unprecedented and actually fairly remarkable. And I see it as it is akin to Brexit, frankly.
Yeah.
And there's where I disagree with you, Maria. I don't think it's remarkable. I think it's the same old that we've been doing for 200 years in politics in Washington.
He's doing?
Yeah, and there in Washington.
Saying that the problem is your neighbor. You know, Eugene McCarthy did it. It's the oldest trick in the book to say, you know, the problem isn't you. The problem isn't the country. The problem is your neighbor.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What is the purpose of government? What's the first purpose of government?
Well, the purpose of our government, according to our Constitution, is to provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare.
And basically protect the people and protect them from invasion. And we're being invaded. Our government is bringing people here. They're invading and bringing people here. They're actually making the invasion happen.
Well, that's
I agree
the
with
sentiment.
You.
And that's certainly the sentiment. I mean, one thing about what Kathleen says is that I think it's a very, very widespread sentiment. I don't, you know, when I say that I think she's crazy, I don't think she's crazy. I think there's a lot of people out there that are saying this. It's not.
So we're all crazy?
You're all crazy.
I've got you figured out. Senator Brown, Senator Brown morally is going based on right and wrong. And everyone else, including me on some level, is going based on here is the experience. What have we gained? We have lost. And therefore, let's push back the experience or say, no, that shouldn't be a part of what we want because we can make the choice. We don't have to eat the bad burger if we don't, if we've tasted it and we don't want it. We get to choose a good burger. But it might be like on the very holy side, a very spiritual Christian, let's say, do unto your neighbor, you know, you treat your neighbor, bring him into your home. It's a very wonderful thing to believe you can open up all of your arms, and that's the right thing per se. But because we people don't work on based on right and wrong, we work based on reward. The whole system knows that. And so far, we've got no rewards.
Thank you.
Well, that feeling is what I think is really scary. I think that is a real feeling. And I think that one thing that I would criticize the Democrats for is not fully understanding that feeling yet. And I think they need to do that. I truly do. And I think Trump has a better understanding of that feeling than the Democrats do. And it's a real feeling. I mean, it doesn't matter whether in the final analysis, really, whether it's right or wrong, if that's the way people feel, you have to deal with it.
You have to listen to your words.
You have to deal with that sentiment, and I don't think we're doing it effectively. And I'm not sure that having a political campaign. The thing that distresses me most about this campaign is that the Republicans are standing up and saying you don't want Hillary Clinton, and the Democrats are standing up and saying you don't want Donald Trump. I wish there was more. This is what you do want, rather than this is what you don't want.
And I'll tell you, I just want to say one thing to Boo, and I want you to think about this. When I was listening to Hillary and everyone talking about, oh, it's historical, it's so uplifting about having a woman elected, I never once heard Hillary talk about passing the ERA. We do not have equal protection under the Constitution as women. And as we know in
Touché.
This world of
Touché.
Law, right? All
yes.
law. If you are not protected, then, girl, you're not protected.
Yeah, in this day and age, it's ridiculous and embarrassing.
Exactly. I don't hear anybody saying that.
Well, the Republicans aren't going to say it because they've stood against it. The Democrats are not saying it probably because they think it's a dead issue. And I agree with you, Kathleen. They ought to say it. You know, it's been how many years? It's been 30
years. Especially a woman.
Exactly. That's my point.
Especially a woman. No, I agree with that.
Running on being a woman, the first woman to run for president. Well, hey, we're
not. Well, I think it would have been smart in her speech to say that, to say that we're finally going to pass the ERA. I think that would have been a smart thing to say, yes. But her people didn't pick up on it.
But you said that these two-party systems have kept progress stagnated for all these years. Now, we must keep in mind that these two parties are not part of the government. These are private entities, private clubs, more or less. And now they are blocking us from participating in the process. Third party has no chance. So something is seriously wrong when we have two private entities controlling our whole political process.
Yeah.
Well, one of our big problems is they control it so effectively because we don't get involved. Here in the District of Columbia, where only primary elections count, the general elections don't even count because we're so strongly Democrat that the Democrats always win. We just had a Democratic primary where 25% of the registered voters showed up. Only one in four registered people that were already registered to vote showed up. 75% of us don't show up. And that's one reason that these parties have so much control, because the only control we have over them is showing up to vote, and we don't do it.
And I got about 26. I talked with 26 people, and they told me they were not going. That I asked them why they were not going to vote, and the basically answer was, it's going to come. More or less, it's not going to make a difference their vote,
because it's about the electoral college.
It's controlled by the time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how many people feel.
I know. And that's another feeling that we have to address and we ignore it. you know.
Well, to me, somebody who sits on the sideline and doesn't take part of the process, that their opinion doesn't matter because they're just naysayers. If you want to do something about it, vote. That's the minimum. Then get involved, volunteer, run, groom, etc. I'm taboo. I'm really disappointed to hear that number is so high.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you something. Let's take a little, if I may ask Senator Brown, he's a delegate.
Yes.
When you make your decision, how many people do you think you disappointed by the way you casted your vote?
I think I disappointed all the burning people. I mean, whoever they are. And there were a significant number of them in Washington, but the vast majority of people were Hillary people. And
when you cast your vote, had the people voted for you yet?
Had they voted for Hillary yet? No, it was just prior to the primary.
Right.
How is that right?
You made a decision before.
We knew they were going to vote for Hillary.
Oh my gosh, you knew. No.
I want that crystal ball, Michael.
Exactly. Jeez.
It's called, hey, look, it's called polling. When somebody gets
80%. Exactly. But Senator Brown, you were wrong.
Look, when somebody gets 80% in the polls,
they're
not going to lose.
Questions. You know how that those polls are not worth a piece of paper that they're on. It depends on who's asking and who the poll they're asking from. You cannot base things on polls.
It's funny because you changed your stance, Michael. You said you weren't going to cast your vote until after the primary.
I cast my vote prior to the primary because it was it's the only vote I had, and I tried to use it strategically. That's what I did.
I'm going to tell you. It hurt.
I voted for Obama both times because Obama won, and I voted for Hillary Clinton and she won. Those I went
based
with
on what again? You based it on polls?
Yes, polls are extremely accurate. There hasn't been
this time.
There has not been a president elected in 40 years where we didn't know he was going to get elected before the election.
Who asks these polls? Who does these polls? The media, don't they? Most of them? The good majority is done by the media.
Speaking of which, have we heard about the bounce? Because everyone keeps waiting for the bounce.
7% she got.
Okay.
In the bounce. She's now ahead of Trump.
Because what he got, I heard conservatively 3-6% he got.
Right, 3-6. So basically she undid the bounce that he got. So they're back to being even again. If he got 6 points and she got 7 points, it's pretty much even.
Because I hadn't heard that.
But yeah.
What happens if these emails somehow reveal something that's really devastating? Who would be the candidate then?
Oh, Hillary, because everyone's going to say emails don't matter, and that's how the way the DNC operates.
What
that's
does
how
it
the
matter
political
anyway?
Bodies
anyway?
Exactly.
What does it matter anyway? That should be an ad over and over and over.
If it comes out and it's bad for her, that she's just going to have to take her lumps because it's not like a 30-party candidate's going to rise now.
Who knows? See, this is what I hate about politicians. They underestimate the power of the people.
Well,
and the problem is we do too. We underestimate our power. All you have to do is just get off the couch and organize a protest on whatever it is and go out there and start to make your voice heard. Bernie Sanders people showed us that it doesn't take money.
It's true.
Right? We have all been told if you don't have a super PAC, it's impossible for the regular American to be involved because of all the political action committees. On those individual contributions, he proved that that's a fallacy.
So
and that's
you know what?
He raised a lot of money.
Yes, he did.
But the average donation, I think he said, was $27.
Yes.
Right, it was. And that's actually a much more healthy thing for the political system.
It is.
And personally, I believe that, you know, we should allow anybody in the world to give money to American politics, but they shouldn't give more than $50. I think nobody should be allowed to. Corporations, unions, both sides. If we got the money out of politics, we would make it much, much cleaner. Because there's no way not to cater. A union, the Koch brothers or the Teamsters give the Democrats and the Republicans $5 million. How are you going to ignore them? You can't ignore them. they have great power. So, yeah, I think the if we could get the money out of politics, the system would be so much better.
So I'm wondering why Bernie wasn't chosen as the running mate, and then that would have been a slam dunk in November.
Because they don't like each other and they don't agree on those. And he didn't want to, he was an independent. He did this because he was the only way in which he could, like, I've had a lot of people say to me, I don't understand why anyone should do anything. He's not a lifelong Democrat. When do you have to be a lifelong Democrat to do something in a Democratic Party? You want to talk about open arms, Senator Brown. The Democratic Party should be open to anybody at any time. If I want to go join it back tomorrow, that should
and
be
it
my
was.
Right.
They embraced Bernie. They didn't shut them out.
Well, and Trump's been all over, too.
Well, Debbie Wasserman Schultz may not have embraced them.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, excuse me.
But the party itself embraced them. They had them on the website the first day. They called them a Democrat. They never called them not a Democrat.
Well, they did, but a lot of people inside those walls did not. They said he was not a Democrat. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to come out to show how badly the DNC handled things. I mean, Deborah Wasserman, one thing Obama did, and I must give him a lot of credit for the conventions, he would not allow the DNC to sell sponsorship of the convention. Right. You could not buy the convention. This time, they were very, very just disgustingly kind of open about, yes, we're for sale at $100,000 a pop.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of that in politics on both sides. And
so that makes it okay?
It
makes it all right?
No, it doesn't make it all right. It's not all right. But well, resolving
can I say one thing?
You have Citizens United, how do you resolve it? When you have
the Supreme Court
say it's okay.
The problem is, it's like what Bernie was talking about, the lobbyists. Well, the lobbyists are buying influence. Congress people are selling it. So the problem is right in Congress.
Yes, of course they are. They're not giving money because they want a better America. They're giving money because they want a better America for themselves.
For their agenda.
For their agenda.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, they spend most of their day soliciting money rather than working on our behalf.
Did you see that article that came out? And I think it was a roll call how Republicans and Democrats spend about 2 hours a day. They're required to raise money to go in and raise money for the RNC or the, Congressional Committee, all those things. So
You know what? I have to say, our conversation this afternoon and evening has reinforced what Trump keeps saying, that the system is rigged.
Yes. And,
oh, the system's rigged. Yeah. It's rigged on both sides.
I agree. And so that is resonating.
John Edwards.
The only way to unrig it is to get involved. We got to get people involved. And that
John Edwards said it how many years ago? I'd like to give him credit.
Who?
John Edwards.
Yes, John Edwards, Democrat, said that many years ago.
Yeah.
That was rigged.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Poor thing.
And Kathleen and I have both seen that on our side. I mean, I'm making the assumption that it's the same on the Republican side, maybe a little bit, but certainly seen it on our side. Kathleen and I both worked in fundraising for the Democratic Party.
You guys were almost done. The hour's almost over.
I know, sorry.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Really enjoyed it.
Lively and spirited and taboo. Thank you for joining
us. You know what? This has got
to
be the start of it, guys. We've got to do several more shows like this during the election because I think, that this is one of the few places where you're going to hear people speak in all defense of all different positions.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. That's why terrestrial radio just doesn't do it anymore.
So thank you, Kathleen. We will continue. We will continue your deprogramming as time goes on. And thank you, Sanchez.
Thank you, Senator Brown. And thank you, Tabu. And thank you, listeners, most importantly. Your ears.
Yes, very much.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you. I live to tell the tale of being with Senator Brown for a week, and we were like this the whole time. So I'm surprised we're still friends.
All right. Check is in the mail.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Take care. Thank you for a lively program. I appreciate the opportunity. And BBS Radio.
Yes, we'll see you next week.
Okay.
In the capital of this nation, 200 years of
of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.